Well, somebody had the best January since 1987. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 31st day of January. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other business news, Harley Davidson is in serious trouble. The numbers are just not there. Senator Bernie Sanders takes the wraps off a new tax plan. Is General Electric back from the dead? Seems so. President Trump today signaled he may be willing to wait on doubling down on a 25% tariff on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. What? Wait a minute. Can this be true? Amazon today forecast weaker sales for the first quarter? We'll have those details for you. Those stories, the markets, and we'll visit about how you can create a Black Friday every Friday. Our guest is Abhinav Amhotep, and it is a neat idea. But first, the business news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, realestateconcepts.net. The Business News is next.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Tero International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit Tero.com. That's TERO.com to learn more. This is Michelle from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. Realestateconcepts.net.
It is the final day for January of 2019. This is the Business News Hour, and I'm your host, Michael Libby. To say it was a good month for investors would be an understatement. The gains today helped the S&P 500 notch its best January performance since 1987. The index rose by 7.8%. The broad index also posted its biggest monthly gain since October of 2015. If you remember, last month the S&P 500 fell by 9.1% and briefly dipped into bear market territory on an intraday basis on Christmas Eve. Now, since December 24th, stocks have been on a tear, with the S&P rising about 15%. At the bell today, it was the Dow that failed to capture a positive trade, falling by just a couple of points. The NASDAQ gained 98 points, and the S&P was up by 23 points. We'll have all the numbers later in the newscast. Well, more bad news about Harley Davidson. The iconic Wisconsin manufacturing company, in business for 116 years, disappointed Wall Street this week when the company generated effectively no profit in the fourth quarter. That was due to Trump tariffs, which have hurt Harley in growth markets outside of the U.S. It was an ominous sign because while Harley has been under business pressure for years, its owner base is aging and motorcycle sales in key U.S. markets are in a terminal decline. It's also been a revenue stalwart. Since 2006, the company has endured exactly one quarter in which it brought in less than $1 billion in revenue, and that was during the financial crisis. But times are different now. Harley's revenue is enviable, but it's based on selling large motorcycles at high prices. That market has been dominated by Harley for decades, with alternatives supplied by Japanese Cruiser, excellent bikes, but lacking that Harley attitude with the V-twin roar and stomp and, of course, that outlaw credibility. But Harley is now facing some homegrown competition from a resurgent Indian. That's an historic rival that faded in the 20th century only to recover under new ownership this year. And brands such as Ducati and Triumph have made a better pitch to younger riders, while the urban and entry-level markets are coming back to something called Royal Enfield. It's a mess. There's a lot of bikes, but Harley apparently isn't among them. Today, independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders unveiled a plan to dramatically expand the federal estate tax on the wealthy, including a new 77% rate on billionaires' estates. All this is happening as leading Democratic politicians push new taxes on the richest Americans to, as they say, combat inequality. Sanders' bill, the For the 99.8% Act, would tax the estates of the 0.2% of Americans who inherit more than $3.5 million, while the rest of the country would not see their taxes go up by one penny under the plan. All of that, according to aides to the Vermont senator who is considering a 2020 presidential bid. Overall, the plan would raise $2.2 trillion from 588 billionaires, but over an unknown period of time because it would only take effect once they die. Policy aides of Senator Sanders said the tax would raise $315 billion over the next decade. Meanwhile, on the other side of the aisle, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, with Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa and John Thune of South Dakota, released legislation to permanently repeal the federal estate tax, with Thune arguing that it, quote, threatens families' agricultural legacies and makes it difficult and costly to pass those businesses down to future generations, end quote. So, is GE back from the dead? Why do I ask? Well, General Electric beat estimates for sales and cash flow the fourth quarter and said today it had reached a tentative deal to settle a subprime mortgage case with U.S. regulators, sending its shares sharply higher. GE stock briefly soared as much as 18% as profits and sales rose in its aviation, healthcare, oil, and gas businesses, offsetting a $1 billion in cumulative losses at its power and capital units. GE's bond prices also rose sharply today. The stock closed up 11.7% at $10.16. Today, President Donald Trump telegraphed flexibility about his deadline for resolving the trade war with China, saying that the disputes could only be settled by another face-to-face meeting between himself and President Xi Jinping, and that he might be willing to just, quote, postpone for a little while, end quote, his tariffs. Trump expressed hope that a very comprehensive transaction could be completed by March 1st. That's the deadline he's set for increasing tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports from 10% to 25%. Say it ain't so. Today, Amazon forecast first quarter sales below Wall Street's estimates as it faces regulatory hurdles in India and a slowdown in e-commerce sales in Europe. Shares of the company fell by 1.1% to $1,700 a share in trading after the bell. Amazon began removing a wide array of products from its India website late today to comply with the new foreign investment curbs that kick in on February 1st and disallow companies from selling products via vendors in which they have an equity interest. The company forecast net sales of between $56 billion and $60 billion for the first quarter. That missed the analyst average estimate of slightly over $60 billion. For the most part, stocks rose to close out their best January in three decades as strong earnings and a Federal Reserve indicating it would pause rate hikes caused investors to rush back into the market after a vicious December sell-off. The gain today was driven by better-than-expected earnings from a range of companies, including Facebook and General Electric. The S&P 500 gained 0.9%, and the NASDAQ Composite outperformed, rising by 1.3%. The Dow closed just below the flat line. Shares of Facebook surged by 10.8% today after the company's quarterly results easily topped expectations. GE shares jumped 11.6% on stronger-than-forecast revenue. These results came in during the busiest week of corporate earnings season. Well, not everyone participated in the party today, though. Microsoft fell by 1.8% after the company reported weaker-than-expected revenue and earnings that barely beat expectations. The tech giant also issued quarterly earnings guidance that was lower than expected. Dow DuPont, another Dow member, fell by 9.2% on the back of mixed quarterly results. Tesla shares dipped 0.5% on the back of weaker-than-expected earnings, and the company also said its CFO was leaving his post. At the bell, the Dow was down 15 points to close at 24,999. The NASDAQ gained 98 points to end the day and the month at 7,281. And the S&P 500 was up 23 points to close out January at 2,704. Gold continued its march upward, gaining $9.90 to end the day at $1,319.80 an ounce. Oil lost 21 cents to close January at $54.02 a barrel. And the 10-year T-note fell again, paying 2.6%. 0.62%. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a woman who wants you and I to help celebrate Black Friday every Friday of the year. And it's all about economics. That story coming up next here on the Business News Hour.